basic and the most logical thing that we can do is vote and get a hold of the House back again in the Senate and impeach this administration. That's definitely something that is workable.
Have you talked to other people who agree with you?
I have people who graduated with me at Roosevelt High School. I have friends that worked with me that all agree. We are in a situation that is very dangerous for our future, for our community, for our state and our nation. It's just not my opinion. It's not an opinion that what I'm voicing. It's a concern, a very real concern.
On that note, Irma Torres, retired teacher from Los Angeles Unified School District, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you, John, for having me and hearing my concerns.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Negwa Ibrahim. I want to open today's show by reading a recent post from the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. Quote, Hanukkah invites us to bring light into the world, not through swords or bombs, but through acts of enlightenment, using the flame of the Hanukkah to drive out despair. Hanukkah challenges us to transcend the illusion of power inherent in the violence of empire and nation-statism, reminding us that true strength lies in our ability to resist imperial brutality. On this first night of Hanukkah, let us reclaim this sacred message of our festival of light. Let us put our trust in a power yet greater than the power of the mightiest empire. Let us reject narratives that glorify militarism and instead embrace a vision of Judaism rooted in justice, peace, and universal liberation. The Israeli government's genocide of Palestinians is only getting worse, funded and supported by the U.S. In the face of vicious repression here in the United States, we renew our commitment to ending the genocide. Our anti-Zionist Jewish ancestors give us strength. May their legacy light the path toward liberation. The miracle of Hanukkah was that, against all odds, the light endured. It was never extinguished. Hanukkah teaches us to persist even in the darkest of moments, inspired by our ancestors and out of a commitment to justice. We keep going. End quote. Again, that was a recent post from the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. So with us today is Rabbi Elliot Kukla to talk about how Zionism remade the story of Hanukkah in its own image, how this recasting of the Hanukkah story has had real-life consequences, the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people by Israeli Zionist forces from the Nakba until today, and how the true story of Hanukkah is one that actually supports resistance to authoritarianism, genocide, occupation, and apartheid, and actually inspires hope grounded in justice, equity, peace, and love. Rabbi Elliot Kukla is a diasporic rabbi, author, and disabled artist. He has worked at the intersection of justice and spiritual care to those who are dying and bereaved since 2007. He is a leader in both Rabbis for Ceasefire and the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. Elliot's essays appear in many newspapers, including the New York Times, LA Times, Time Magazine, and Teen Vogue. His first children's book, The Lazy Day, is forthcoming in spring of 2027. And his first solo nonfiction book on hidden grief, The Heart Lives by Breaking, is forthcoming in fall of 2027. Welcome, Rabbi Elliot Kukla, to Middle East in Focus. We're so glad you can join us today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you.
Can you first talk about how Zionism and many of its early tropes were, as you put it in your most recent op-ed, explicitly a rebuke of religious Judaism?
Thank you so much for asking that. It's such an important question. So for most of Jewish history, Judaism was explicitly a religion and a peoplehood and a tradition that was focused on surviving and thriving without a place, very explicitly. So that was true from the first century when the Hanukkah story took place until the 19th century. And it was about developing rituals and traditions that supported that. And it was explicitly prohibited by Jewish law and practice to return to the land of Israel, as it was known as a spiritual place, to form a military or a political government there by religious Judaism for 2,000 years of our history. So individuals traveled to Palestine, individual Jews. Palestine was a multi-religious society for thousands of years, and individual Jewish families went there, but it was always, for thousands of years, it was explicitly prohibited by religious Judaism to try to form a government or a place there. So when Zionism arose in the 19th century, it was explicitly a rejection of religious Judaism. And it saw itself not just as a way of responding to anti-Semitism by dealing with where anti-Semitism was coming from the people who were being anti-Semitic, but actually responding to anti-Semitism by looking at the problems with how early Zionists thought Judaism itself attracted anti-Semitism. So I'm putting this kind of in quotes because it was, from my view, really problematic. So early political Zionism that arose in the 19th century believed that part of the reason for anti-Semitism that was rising up in Europe in the 19th century was that Jews had been too meek and pacifist, and that this whole idea of not having armies that was so central to Judaism made us too feminine. This was very explicit in early Zionism, and that early political Zionism was a rejection of Judaism. And it was so a lot of early political Zionism was very explicitly taking Jewish themes and turning them upside down, like we'll talk about more with Hanukkah, in order to create a new Jew. And this was early Zionist language that was no longer pacifist, that was no longer anti-nationalist, that no longer was focused on how we can live anywhere, but was more European and was explicitly colonial. So it's so interesting right now, there's all this argument, is Zionism a colonial movement or not? It's not hard to find the answer to that because Zionism in its inception was very explicit about being a colonial movement. That was the point, was it's going to be a Jewish colonial movement that rejects this history of religion that was always anti trying to have a land in order to be stronger, more muscular, and more masculine, and create a new Jew that was explicitly athletic and white and more like the kind of Western European neighbors that early political Zionism was aiming to be like. And in that, it was a rejection of not just dominating Palestinians, but also leaving out Eastern European Jews, North African Jews, and all sorts of other Jews. It was an argument internally against a lot of forms of Jews and Jewishness as well.
Okay, so, and as you said, this is also related to how the Zionist movement basically reframed Hanukkah to promote Zionism that's actually very contrary to religious Judaism. So now Can you discuss how Zionism turned the moral of the Hanukkah story on its head to praise militarism in a way that's contrary to the actual true story and meaning of Hanukkah?
Yes, thanks for asking this. So Hanukkah is a very primary example of how political Zionism took traditional Judaism and explicitly turned it upside down. So there is a historical story of the Maccabees, who were a small band of rebels who in the year 167 BCE fought against the Syrian Empire, who had, there's different names for that empire, Sometimes they're referred to it as the Seleucids, who had overtaken the temple in Jerusalem. And this small group of Jewish rebels, the Maccabees, did win back the temple. However, that story was never considered a holy story by Judaism. That was a story that was kept in the Book of Maccabees, which became a part of sacred history in Catholicism and Eastern Orthodox religion, but it was not included in the Hebrew Bible or in any Jewish holy texts. So the first people who considered this a holy story was political Zionism in the 19th century, who said, let's go back and claim the Maccabees because they are wonderful examples of this idea of new Jews, because they did try to go back to the land and fought for it and turn them into the heroes of Hanukkah. And so Zionists claimed the Maccabees as heroes. They named early athletics clubs after the Maccabees. There is a kind of Jewish Olympics that was created called the Maccabee Games. And there were new Hanukkah songs that were written. So traditional Hanukkah songs are about faith and love and peace and rejecting the idea of war. And they took those songs and they wrote new songs that were very explicitly making fun of those songs. And in the new songs, it was making the Maccabees the hero and saying, we're not going to wait around for faith and peace. Instead, the heroes of Hanukkah now are these Maccabees, these kind of rough and ready rebels, and we are going to identify them with these new bands of Zionists that are going around and scaring Palestinians off their land. And that is the new version of Hanukkah that we are going to celebrate. And it was very explicitly a parody of what Hanukkah had always been.
So I have to ask, how widespread is this this version of the Hanukkah story? In other words, you know, are there a lot of people that think that this is actually the true story of Hanukkah?
I would say almost everyone in America who's under 80 has taken in some amount of Israeli propaganda with their Hanukkah nowadays. So I want to fill in another piece, which is the rabbis who were kind of creating Judaism 2,000 years ago looked for another story to tell. And the story that they told about Hanukkah was the story of the oil, which you might have heard. So they told a completely different story, which is opposite to a military story, which is, what is Hanukkah about? Well, after we got back into the temple that had been defiled by empire, what is it we're actually celebrating? There was a tiny, tiny vial of oil that we needed to make to clean up after war, basically. And in order, we needed to light the menorah for 8 days. There was only a little bit of oil left. And that little bit of oil lasted, instead of one day, for 8 days. And that was the story that was told for thousands of years, instead of celebrating the battle. What has happened nowadays is that oil story is still told, but it is told together with the story of the military victory that is only began to be celebrated with the rise of the State of Israel and political Zionism. And people have completely forgotten that that oil story, that mythic story, was originally created as a story that was in contrast to telling a story of a military victory very explicitly.
Okay, so now can you talk about why then it's so important to understand the true story of Hanukkah rather than the Zionist version of Hanukkah that's been widely adopted? Why it's important to understand the true story, particularly in relation to Israel's genocide in Gaza and the broader context of occupation and apartheid of Palestine?
Thanks for asking that. And I realize there's so many layers to this, so it's a little hard to unpack it quickly. So it's so important to get back to this original story, because the original story was that the rabbis who were creating these stories thousands of years ago, they knew the historical story of the Maccabees taking back the temple, but they chose not to tell it, even though on some level it was a story of the Jewish people winning, but they didn't consider that holy story. They knew that telling a story of a war and a battle as the source of a holiday was dangerous. They knew that celebrating zealotry and thirst for land was not necessarily a good basis for religion. And I feel like we're seeing in, you know, really big now why they were right, why telling a different sacred story that has to do with a little bit going a long way, with having faith when it feels like the job of fixing what has been destroyed by violence feels too enormous, because that's what the story of oil is all about. Telling a story about hope and cooperating in a time when things feel so overwhelmingly terrifying. All of these messages are so relevant when we're in this moment of genocide. That the rabbis who told this story understood the danger of passing down a story of a battle. And I think we are understanding now exactly why, in terms of what is being done with the Maccabee story. This heart of the Hanukkah story is about what happens when religious symbols are defiled. The word Hanukkah means rededication, because when they came back to the temple, they had to rededicate all of these holy symbols that had been destroyed by the empire and destroyed by violence. And we're in this moment right now where Jewish symbols have been horribly defiled by genocide, where the menorah that is a symbol in the Hanukkah story of faith and trust and believing a little bit can take us a long way is literally on every IDF soldier's uniform and being used to justify genocide. We're in a moment where Stars of David, which are ancient symbols of peace, are literally being burned into Palestinian farmland. So this story of reclaiming sacred symbols and using them for faith and trust and peace, as opposed to celebrate victories, is particularly relevant.
Wow, I have chills. That was so powerful. Thank you so much. I just want to remind everyone that we are talking today with Rabbi Elliot Kukla to talk about how Zionism remade the story of Hanukkah in its own image, how this recasting of the Hanukkah story has had real-life consequences, the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people by Israeli Zionist forces from the Nakba until today, and how the true story of Hanukkah is one that actually supports resistance to authoritarianism, genocide, occupation, and apartheid, and actually inspires hope grounded in justice, equity, peace, and love. And Rabbi Elliot Kukla is a diasporic rabbi, author, and disabled activist who has worked at the intersection of justice and spiritual care to those who are dying and bereaved since 2007. He is a leader in both Rabbis for Ceasefire and the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. Rabbi Elliot, I want to ask you, to this point that you're making about the way in which religious symbols are being exploited by Zionism and by Zionists in a way that is contrary to the true meaning of Judaism. Can you talk about, based on this point, on this idea, why is the conflation of Zionism and Judaism so problematic?
Well, that's a big question. I think it is so problematic in that, first of all, there is such rich Jewish history that is explicitly anti-Zionist. For so much of Jewish history was explicitly against creating a political government in not just in the land of Israel or in Palestine, but in any land, that so much of the wisdom of Judaism is about how do we survive anywhere. And that is exactly what the Hanukkah story is about. They knew the story of the Maccabees very clearly, but when the piece of Jewish holy text that it defines Hanukkah. The rabbis get together, and the first question they ask each other in this text, which takes place a couple hundred years later, is, what is Hanukkah about? Which implies that they're not going to use that story. And then they have this long conversation about what is Hanukkah about, and they come to the oil, and they never talk about the war. And something that's so meaningful to me about that is what they are understanding there is that stories really do can last longer than land. That winning a war, that the Maccabees did win that war, but it didn't last. In fact, that only lasted a little while. But Jewish survival has lasted thousands of years because of telling stories. So I think in this moment, losing the story of Jewish survival as a people that can live anywhere is losing this core part of our identity. And there's a reason that we're losing that story. There are billions of dollars being put into conflating Zionism and Judaism, billions of dollars put in by the State of Israel, billions of dollars coming from the U.S. to have us lose our stories. And it's pretty recent. You know, if you ask someone who's older what the story of Hanukkah is, I used to work in nursing homes, they're going to only tell you the oil story. They won't have heard of the Zionist story because that story is quite new. But we have this sort of vast loss of historical memory because we've all been this given so much Israeli propaganda, and we don't even realize it, how much even anti-Zionists rarely realize how much of a Zionist version of Hanukkah they're telling all the time. And these stories have sustained us for hundreds of years and are really a gift for everyone, not just for Jewish people, but everyone in this moment of collapse, of genocide, as the world is in so much struggle, need stories like this that remind us that we can survive without an army, that we can survive without battles, that a little can go a long way, that these stories really are core pieces of cultural survival for everyone. And there are huge forces out there that are trying to make us forget our stories. And that is all caught up in forgetting the incredibly rich and deep anti-Zionist history of Judaism.
So actually on that point, and I want, if you can, and we're about to wrap up here, if you can really elaborate on exactly what you just talked about, and this idea that really the true story of Hanukkah and this understanding of Judaism as being actually anti-Zionist is important not just for Jewish communities but for everyone. So on that note, you state in your piece that within the story of Hanukkah's oils, there are timeless universal truths that we all need in order to survive this era where authoritarianism rises worldwide and many of our systems of care fragment. Can you talk about, as you just started mentioning, but really go, if you can go deeper, even deeper, elaborate on these truths and explain how a deeper understanding of Hanukkah can inspire hope grounded in justice, equity, peace, and love?
Yes, thank you so much for asking that. You know, there's so much that really is universal about Hanukkah. One of the very core explanations for the holiday is that today, which is the last night of Hanukkah tonight, is always the darkest night of the year. It's the way the Jewish calendar works. It follows both the moon and the sun. So tonight is the night of the new moon when there's no moon closest to the solstice. And that's always true of Hanukkah. When we light the most candles of Hanukkah is the darkest, longest night of the year. And that's a night that almost every culture celebrates in some way, this time of year when we have these beautiful, long, dark nights that evoke a need for connection and togetherness and also some feelings of fear and vulnerability and also a kind of basic sense of like, is the sun going to come back? You know, we all kind of feel that way in the winter. And especially in this moment right now, when things are scary and insecure and so much is changing, and we're in this moment of genocide in Palestine, the feelings of kind of hopelessness that can go along with this time of year are very universal and very timeless. And the message of Hanukkah really is, it looks like you don't have enough. You know, we only have a tiny bit of oil, and it's not enough to light this long night. It's not enough to get the job done of reclaiming our sacred stories and symbols that have been defiled by a violent empire. And maybe we just want to give up and go back to bed. But the message is to try anyways, that when we are working together, even at times when it feels like we don't have enough, with some faith and trust, perhaps we will survive this long night. And that is a universal message. And it's a message of gentleness in the face of force that has survived. That is the message that survived, not the forceful message for thousands of years that we all need.
This is Middle East in Focus, and we are talking today with Rabbi Elliot Kukla, talking about how Zionism remade the story of Hanukkah in its own image, how this recasting of the Hanukkah story has had real-life consequences, the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people by Israeli Zionist forces from the Nakba until today, and how the true story of Hanukkah is one that actually supports resistance to authoritarianism, genocide, occupation, and apartheid, and inspires hope grounded in justice, equity, peace, and love. Elliot Kukla is a diasporic rabbi, author, and disabled activist. He has worked at the intersection of justice and spiritual care to those who are dying and bereaved since 2007. He's a leader in both Rabbis for Ceasefire and the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. Elliot's essays appear in many newspapers, including the New York Times, LA Times, Time Magazine, and Teen Vogue. His first children's book, The Lazy Day, is forthcoming in spring 2027, and his first solo nonfiction book on hidden grief, The Heart Lives by Breaking, is forthcoming in fall 2027. Thank you so much, Rabbi Elliot Kukla, for joining us today on Middle East in Focus and for your incredible work and words.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure being with you, and happy solstice.
Happy solstice. I want to also remind everyone that's listening that we are trying to get 500 new sustainers before the end of the year. The mission is simple but critical. 500 new sustaining members by December 31st. 500 monthly sustainers is the difference between limping through 2026 or actually rebuilding the station LA deserves. Digital tools, more events, more original shows, more local reporting, everything we know you want. A $20 monthly gift might feel small, but it is stability for us here at KPFK. It's reliable income we can plan around, and it goes straight into the core things that keep KPFK alive: engineering, the tower, web tools, staff, equipment, repairs, all the real costs of running real public radio that is truly independent, that can bring programs like the one we brought you today, and that can truly do it without any type of censorship. It lets us stop patching holes and start rebuilding and continuing to grow this independent media source that is rare these days. If you've been meaning to support KPFK, or if you've been listening for months without joining, this is the moment where it matters most. We ask you to step in, not out of guilt, but because the alternative is losing one of the only truly independent media spaces left in Southern California. Help us hit 500 sustainers. Help us end the year strong. This is the push that decides what we can build in 2026. So please, please be a sustainer. Pledge. $20 a month is what we're asking. Please, if you can do it, please make sure you do it. I want to thank all of you at KPFK for continuing to tune in every week, continuing to support us as a station and continuing to support Middle East in Focus. I want to thank our fantastic guest, Rabbi Elliot Kukla, who is the leader in both Rabbis for Ceasefire and the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council. I want to thank our fantastic engineer, Carlos. Again, our theme song is The Overture from Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Khalife. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Negwa Ibrahim, wishing you all light, love, and peace. Thanks for joining us, and have a great rest of your Sunday.